Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Jordan Sloggett.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we're thrilled to have Luis Garcia, the director for the Center for Meat Innovation and Technology, also known as CMIT, with us today.
Welcome, Luis. Thanks for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Jordan. I'm happy to be here and happy to answer any questions that you may have for me.
Yeah, we're really excited about the Center for Meat Innovation and Technology in Ontario. So can you tell us about yourself before we get talking about CMIT? How did you get involved with meat processing as a career? And what roles did you hold in the meat sector before coming to CMIT?
I completed a master's degree in food science at the University of Guelph many years ago. And at that time, my dream was to become a researcher. Sure enough, that's not what life had in store for me. So my first job after graduation was with a meat processing company that made all types of deli meats, hot dogs, sausages, etc. I stayed with them for a while and then went on to work for a fruits and vegetables processing company. Both of these jobs were in my home country, Guatemala. Then in 2002, my family and I emigrated to Canada, and we've been in Guelph since then. I've held jobs with the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture and Food as a food scientist and as a traceability coordinator. Then with Conestoga College as chair of their Institute of Food Processing Technology. And I joined Meat and Poultry Ontario in 2022 to build and run their Center for Meat Innovation and Technology, CMIT.
Perfect. Well, speaking of CMIT, could you please give us an overview of the Center for Meat Innovation and Technology and its mission within the Canadian meat processing industry?
Yes, of course. Our mission is to strengthen a sustainable meat and poultry industry by advancing knowledge, innovation, research, and skills through effective partnerships, collaboration, and leadership. And the work we do is supported by four pillars. The first one is meaningful careers. So we develop and deliver much needed training to those already in the workforce and those looking for skilled jobs in the industry. We're offering short courses that are part of a career pathway that we're developing to achieve better recognition of people in the industry. That is, I believe, one of the challenges that we're facing with the shortages in the workforce, and that is that people working in the industry are not recognized as they should. So we're trying to change that and build more recognition in the skilled work that they do. The second pillar is effective partnerships. Basically, that means to capitalize on existing resources and optimize their use by collaborating with others and building effective partnerships. As an example, we have a great collaboration with the University of Guelph, through which we have access to federally licensed facilities in which we conduct most of our work. Without those facilities, we wouldn't be able to do much. Third pillar is innovation for competitiveness. And what this means is we conduct and facilitate applied research activities in areas such as robotics and automation, product and process development, or, for example, best sustainability practices. So we want to showcase the latest technologies. We also want to help technology companies develop or demonstrate and or demonstrate their technologies in our facilities to industry, with the end goal of increasing technology adoption by industry. And the fourth pillar is meat science research. We understand that there's been decades of really, really good scientific work done at the University of Guelph, and yet the communication between these researchers and industry hasn't been effective. So we're trying to work on that and facilitate communication between those two sectors, the industry and academia. And we do that by facilitating collaboration between the two. And also with other academic institutions, not just the University of Guelph, but we want to build a stronger bridge, communication bridge between researchers and an industry. So that's what we do.
That's amazing. I'm surprised that this hasn't been in existence for so many years, because it just seems really vital to the meat industry. So you've talked about collaboration and your second pillar. Could you share some examples of how CMIT fosters collaboration within the meat processing industry and why it's so important for innovation?
It's so important. It's very important. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Food Valley in the Netherlands and learned firsthand how they do business there. Food Valley is well known for being the leading innovation cluster in the world, food cluster in the world. And this cluster includes Wageningen University, government officials, different offices of government, research institutes, and industry. Somehow they've figured out a way to collaborate with one another, yet maintaining the competitive nature of business. Oh. So they share technological advances, and innovation happens much more quickly. So just to give you an example of how innovation is happening there, I had the opportunity to visit at least a dozen private food research institutes.
Wow.
That ranged from very small to very large. And they are doing business, they are offering research capabilities to industry, and they're working together. You find the top multinational food companies there, and you also find local smaller companies doing business there. So they have made it work in such a way that they are renowned for the work they do. And because a lot of the innovation in the food industry is coming from that area of the world. So we're trying to begin the process to get partners in industry and other academic institutions to work collaboratively without fear of losing their competitive edge. Mm-hmm. That's a challenge we find here. You may bring people to the same table, but they may not be willing to share, because they're afraid that they're sitting with their competitors and they shouldn't share their confidential information. And that really, I think, is the key, that through this collaboration process, nobody's asking anybody to share their confidential information. What they should be sharing is information that can be shared, that is of benefit to the entire industry and not just to one single company. And this happens not just in industry, this also happens in academia. Mm-hmm. So as an example, we're currently facilitating collaboration between the University of Guelph and Fanshawe College on a butcher program that is designed to strengthen the workforce in the industry. So it is not a secret that collaboration between the colleges and universities is not the norm, because they are at different levels. They're seen to be at different levels, and they are. They are meeting completely different purposes. So we're trying to facilitate that collaboration, and I'm going to speak to that in a bit in more detail. We've also been able to build collaboration between the lamb farmer and academia to develop data that will help grow the farmer's business. So we're doing some work for the farmer in the facilities, but then we involve the researcher from the University of Guelph who's gathering data that will support the farmer's case on the business that they're doing. So that's part of the work that we're doing with respect to collaboration.
Amazing.
So speaking of the work to support that, the lamb producer, are there any specific projects or research initiatives that CMIT is currently undertaking that could directly impact lamb processing in Ontario?
Yes. I won't be able to tell you a lot about it or go into a lot of detail, but we've been working for about a year or more with a lamb farmer in the development of further processed lamb products. So overall, what we're doing is, or what the farmer is doing, and we're supporting them, is adding a new valuable category of products to the meat counter. And I'm sure that other processors will follow the business opportunity when it comes to market. But we've been working with this farmer to develop further processed meat products that are not currently available in the meat counters.
That's amazing. So building on that, if a producer like this lamb producer that approached you, if a producer or a processor was interested in developing a new product, how could they work with you to expand their business, develop a new product, get access to a new market? How do they work with CMIT?
Yeah, so it's relatively easy. First of all, connect with me and we can share my contact information at the end of the of this podcast. The process is we'll meet with a farmer / client to get a good understanding of what they intend to do. Once we know what the scope or the goals of the project are, then we'll put together a detailed proposal on the work that we can do for them with anticipated timelines and an estimated budget for their approval. With that, we will work hand in hand with the farmer on product development as they require. So they're in product development. We would, let's say they wanted to make a dry aged product. We'll run a test. We'll share results with the client. They'll taste the product. And if they like it, that's it. The product is completed, but that doesn't happen. It never happens the first time. First time around, there's usually several iterations of the trials. So we work hand in hand, very, very closely with the client to make sure that we're meeting their expectations. We are a non-profit organization, yet we have to recover costs. So there will be a cost to doing this work for them, but as I say, we're a nonprofit organization, so costs are, I would say, very reasonable for them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Luis, you've already touched upon the fact that CMIT focuses heavily on skills development and training for the meat industry, but could you tell us more about the specific training programs and micro-credentials that CMIT offers, and particularly how they can benefit the lamb processing sector?
Yeah. So we offer courses in three different areas. One is sausage making. We've got two courses in that area, fresh sausages and then cooked and smoked sausages. We also offer courses on knife skills. Knife skills, one being types of knives, sharpening of knives, and care and maintenance of knives. And then two and three are specific to processing either a whole beef carcass or a whole pork carcass. So those are the ones that we're offering right now. And when we talk about carcass processing, we go from the entire carcass all the way to retail cuts. So at the end of the course, we even add a little bit of merchandising skills to make your cut more appealing to the customer. We do cleaning and sanitation for plant crews, and we also do a course for supervisors. Now, having said that, and not having mentioned lamb processing, we do customized training as required. So, as an example, we could develop a lamb carcass processing course relatively easily that would support the creation of more value-added lamb products, for example. We would do that if the demand is there. We also, as a good example, delivered a course at a large meat cutting facility in the GTA last year. Or this last winter, they've been cutting meat for decades, and some of the butchers that attended this was a beef carcass processing course. Some of the butchers that attended the course had been doing the same job for years and years, Yet they completed the two-day course, and after at the end of the course, they were so satisfied and so happy with the course because now they had an understanding of where the different cuts that they were handling came from, because they don't receive whole carcasses, they get boxed meat. So they didn't know, you know, what was coming in the box, and they just knew exactly what they had, where they had to cut, how they had to cut it. But now they had an understanding of where it was coming from and why they were doing things the way they were doing them. So it was very, very, very good to see their faces at the end of the course, because now they had a good understanding, good knowledge of the job that they've been doing for many years.
Wow. That's really cool. And to expand on this educational aspect of what you do, you also mentioned the partnership between the University of Guelph and Fanshawe. Can you tell us some more about the partnerships that you have with the University of Guelph and colleges and other institutions to build a skilled workforce for the future of the meat processing industry?
Yes. I'm going to talk about another partnership. We recently attended the Ontario Skills Competition in the spring, in May, where we offered a virtual reality game on meat cutting.
That's cool.
This game was developed in partnership with Ontario Tech University in Oshawa. So they did the entire development of the game. And we had it available at our booth at the Skills Competition, and hundreds of students, elementary and high school students, played the game. It was nonstop. We had students lined up to play the game. The goal of the game was not to train them on how to become a butcher or on knife skills. The goal of the game was to increase awareness that there is such a trade. Mm-hmm. There is a butcher trade. The majority of the students who were playing the game had no idea about this trade. And there is no butcher competition at this event, because there's only one program at Fanshawe, so they can't have a competition. So we had hundreds of students that played the game, and they walked away with increased awareness of the butcher trade, which was our goal. I also mentioned we do everything we can to promote Fanshawe College's Butchery Techniques program, because it's the only one, the only formal butcher training program in Ontario. And because of our capacity at the University of Guelph to process whole carcasses, we have opened our doors to Fanshawe students so they can come and be trained on the aspects of their butcher job that they are not able to get trained on at Fanshawe. So again, trying to foster this collaboration with both academic institutions. Access to the U of G's fully equipped CFIA inspected facilities is key to the work we do in training and skills development. So that has to be recognized, that they are making a huge contribution to the work that we do.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that VR example is pretty incredible, to be able to put people into someone's shoes of a career that they didn't even know existed. And now they're kind of looking out from, you know, from the eyes of that and understanding how to work with those tools. So speaking of that, and with technology advancing rapidly, what are, in your opinion, some of the most exciting innovations in meat processing that CMIT is currently showcasing or working with?
Yep. I'd like to mention two examples in very different areas. One is the use of Italian technology to make high-quality, dry-aged meat products in less time than normal. So this is done through careful monitoring of product pH throughout the process. The end product has excellent quality characteristics and the same or extended shelf life. But the entire process time can be cut to half. So it's a great business proposition. The technology is approved for use in Europe. It's not yet approved by Health Canada, but we're working on that, because it is great technology. We've tried the products that can be made with those dry aging cabinets, and it's the quality is outstanding. It's really, really good. The other example I'd like to mention is we're working with a high-tech company out of California, San Francisco area, that is owned by a couple of Canadian young fellows who are who developed a unit, and it's a very small unit that can conduct pathogen testing on site. In other words, at the processor's facility. So there's no need for a level two lab for pathogen testing. This unit will conduct the testing, will then submit results through the internet to an accredited lab. The lab will get the results immediately and will issue back a certificate of analysis immediately. So the process right now is a swab is collected by the processor or by the inspector. It's put in an sterile bag, and then it's shipped in a cold environment to the lab. The lab receives it, then they process it, and then they send results back to the processor. This can take 2 to 3 days. Then there's also the high risks of manipulation and the cold chain that has to be maintained. So it is a time-consuming and expensive process. With this unit that the company has developed, all of that would be eliminated. So the swab is collected the same way. It's exactly the same swab. It's put into the unit, and everything is done inside the unit. And the processor can have results within 6 to 9 hours, which is great. This is going to revolutionize the way we do things if we can prove it. We're currently validating the technology at the University of Guelph, and we will be presenting results to Health Canada as soon as we've got them ready. But it's great. Wow. Technology.
Wow, that's really cool. And building on that, you know, food safety and traceability, they typically go hand in hand. And so given your extensive background in food science and processing, how do you see the role of traceability evolving and food safety as well in the meat industry? And what role do you see CMIT playing in the future of food safety and traceability sort of beyond this particular project?
We're currently working or conducting a project called Food Safety Excellence. It is funded by OMAFA and aims at getting meat processors to up their food safety game, regardless of where they're at right now. So there are companies that have food safety requirements or meet minimum food safety requirements. There are others that are HACCP certified. There are others that are BRC, SQF. They have, you know, GFSI systems in place. So the project is going to create an online tool that is easy to use for those processors who are interested, and the tool will help them determine what they need to do to get to where they want to get based on where they are at currently. So it'll be an easy to use tool. So the tool will be available at no cost. And then we are going to provide some guidance to processors, and we'll provide guidance to consultants as well, to food safety consultants who will be working with processors to get them to where they want to get. Again, the end goal is to raise the bar. Regardless of where processors are, this tool should help them, you know, get where they want to get.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And speaking of raising the bar, it sounds like there's already a lot of irons in the fire that CMIT has. But looking ahead, what are your goals for the future of CMIT, and how do you envision it continuing to shape the Canadian meat processing industry?
So, when you write the vision for your program or your department, your company, the vision should be almost unattainable, so that you can keep working towards it. Well, our vision is to be globally recognized in the transformation of a sustainable and innovative meat and poultry industry. So that's our vision. We want to work towards transforming the industry and making it more sustainable, making it innovative and very competitive. That's our ultimate vision.
Wow. We can definitely get behind that. That's exciting.
Definitely.
Well, and that's important because to get there, we're going to need to work with everybody. Yeah. Work together with everybody. So organizations like yours are key, are fundamental to making this vision come true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just talking to you, my mind is going a million different directions, and I'm really excited to connect with you after the podcast to talk about working together to improve lamb processing in Ontario specifically, but just see where things can go.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like we could meet once a year, once every 6 months, and just get an update about all these amazing projects and then what new projects would be starting. But Luis, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights.
I'm happy to have been here and happy to join you at any time.
Well, thank you. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday for our education-themed interview with Andrew Rushmere from Farmers for Climate Solutions. Hey, Jordan, what's coming up on the Ontario Sheep Farmers calendar?
Join us for the Ultimate Ontario Sheep Convention and AGM on October 25th and 26th, 2024 at the Cambridge Hotel Conference Center. This year's theme is Unlocking Profit Potential, and we've got a new format. The AGM kicks off Friday afternoon, followed by a banquet that evening. The convention continues Saturday with keynote speaker Dr. Mark Ferguson from NextGen Agra, and we'll have two satellite locations this year in Eastern Ontario and Northern Ontario. Register by October 2nd for early bird pricing. Don't miss out. Visit ontariosheep.org/2024AGM to secure your spot. Just a quick heads up. Join Ontario Sheep Farmers at Canada's Outdoor Farm Show from September 10th to 12th, 2024. We're at booth N764 in the livestock area, bringing you hands-on demos, expert talks, and delicious lamb samplers. Don't miss our handling demo, live market assessment, and a TMR feeding demo. Be sure to pre-register for the live market assessment by emailing Michael Richards at mrichards@ontariosheep.org. We can't wait to see you there. If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts for future episodes, and please consider sharing our podcast with your friends.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, at Ontario Sheep on X, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.